Hey everyone, this is More Than Just Trucks, a podcast for gearheads, truckers, and anyone who wants to learn more about the trucking industry. This podcast is sponsored by Truck Country and Stoops Freightliner. Come along with me as we dive deeper into what makes this $700 billion industry an essential part of all our lives. Here, we will interview industry leaders, educators, and more as we aim to inform the population on all things trucking. Hello and welcome to another show of More Than Just Trucks podcast. I'm your host, Ray Clark, with Truck Country and Stoops Freightliner Dealerships, family owned and operated today, working on our fourth generation coming into the McCoy Group company overall. And today we have Diesel and Chris with me, and they are two of our program technicians. And today's topic is going to be kind of, and I want to get this out there in front so that it paints the picture of today's topic. It's going to be a learning curve for an age difference. And by no means, that's my point, is I don't want it to come across as being discriminative. It's really pointed to the direction of it doesn't matter of age difference. So going from, you know, Chris, how old are you? Not if you don't. 53, and Diesel, you are
19.
So the meaning that in our industry, it doesn't matter if you're going from a career change over to a high school, coming fresh out of high school, and how we learn and teach in our industry for diesel technicians. So we wanted to get that so that your mindset's really out there, knowing that if you're sitting out there right now and you're looking for a career change, Chris, like let's talk about that real quick. I mean, honestly, you've got quite a colorful background, right? So
a little of everything.
Yeah. So give the listeners a little bit of quick background of really where you came from out of the industry or into this industry.
Well, I always wanted to be a pilot when I was young. So I was unique because I had that direction. I just had no way to pay for it. And the first thing I found out right away is if I have some type of skill, if I know some type of trade, I'm going to make a lot more money than just, you know, working minimum wage. So I tried to find jobs that, you know, required some type of skill, and they paid more, and they were always in some type of manufacturing or some type of mechanics or something like that. So that's how I paid my way through flight school, and then I became an aircraft mechanic, and I did a little of everything along the way. 9/11 kind of killed that for me, along with some other factors that I won't get into, but and I ended up being in the steelworking industry. And the reason I got into that is because the company I was working for just started to computerize. So I got into CNC controls. And I did a little of everything, but mainly I was hired as a machine operator. Oh, and I did that for almost 20 years.
Okay.
And then that industry changed also, and I didn't want to be part of it anymore. So I was looking for something else, and I remembered working on trucks in my early 20s, and I thought, well, let's do that again. So Truck Country offered me opportunity, and I took it.
Yeah. So it's like I said, it's kind of cool when you think of that, right? So from a pilot to a machine operator, that's now, was that because most of us, even when we think manufacturing, because it's kind of, was it manufacturing CNC, or was it a lot of custom CNC work?
It was custom.
Okay.
It was custom.
But, and sorry.
It wasn't production.
Okay. It wasn't production, but it's very similar motions though, correct?
Yeah. Processes.
Right. The processes. Yeah. So relatable, right? I mean, we have processes as a technician. Just the outcomes are a little bit different. So again, my point of this podcast is that, you know, going from a career change yourself, I mean, literally from a machine operator, CNC machine operator, into doing something that you recall back in your 20s, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll further that in the training aspects. And then on the right side of me, we have Diesel, who is like 19, fresh in the industry, fresh out of high school. Now, for those of you that know me and my family, Mr. Diesel is my son. So I know his history a little bit, but he was really drilled into where he's like, how do I get out of school kind of early type scenario. sharp kid, maybe not applying himself all the way that he should be applying himself, but smart enough to know that, hey, like, let's get all my stuff together so that I can graduate from school early. And graduated, what, were you A student?
A plus,
yeah. Right? So he did really well in school, but in the high school side of things, right? So here's a guy that's coming in, getting trained as a diesel technician. And yes, you know, kind of being in the family, but really not involved. I mean, it's not like I had a shop or anything. How do you feel coming into it fresh out of high school? What was relatable in the high school side of things that you could kind of point finger at that was relatable? You took auto class, right?
Yeah, I tried to take as many auto classes as I could. My junior year, I had the opportunity to take a diesel class that actually got me out of school and went to the community college. And that was a diesel program for a year.
Yeah. So let's stay focused on the high school, because I think guys like yourself, and I know myself growing up, and probably Chris can relate, right? When we're in high school, and even if we do know, we're like, hey, I want to steer into that industry. Now that you've been in, so these guys, FYI, these guys are in our apprenticeship program. They were in our 2023 A startup. That means they started in March of 2023. They've completed a year program. They're going in their professional level training path. What would you say as a 1 year into the training path, in a high school aspect, what more that we don't look at that you have definitely, and I'm this is a loaded question because I know the answer, but that you succeeded at as far as topic in the academic side, meaning social, math, science, that kind of stuff. What one is more relatable now in the diesel technician side that you took?
Math.
Okay. So really, I mean, and now you guys are in the electronic class, right? So there's a lot of calculation going on. So, and that's the thing, right? So when I was growing up, yeah, I want to be a diesel tech or automotive. I didn't care about math. I didn't care about English, social studies or anything. It's like, yeah, just get me through the bare minimum, right? So now, and like I said, I because I know your math studies were excellent and you can do stuff in your head. How relatable is that now that you've gone kind of through things?
Well, I'd say it's pretty relatable when you're talking about, well, in electrical, there's charts and you got to calculate some voltages and ohms and amperage.
Yeah. So again, like I said, Chris, right? When we were back in school, I mean, for me anyways, I can tell you it was bare minimum, right? I just wanted to get through. What was your aspect? Do you remember back high school?
I did both.
Did you?
I did. I was good in school. I like learning, so I have that advantage. But I also did a lot of extra courses. I'd take every course I could on welding, car mechanics. I mean, everything like that. Plus living on a farm, I was able to apply all that stuff.
Nice.
I did like the math and the science, and that has helped a lot. So,
yeah, the advantage of that, I think, of, you know, the sad thing is we've seen it here is, yeah, the local schools have the automotive programs. We've got our, you know, some commitments with local schools now with here at Truck Country and getting high schools and a diesel program kind of partnership up. But it's kind of sad that, not that I'm against sports, but we steer heavily into the sports aspects than we do our own trade skills, you know, skilled trades, I should say.
It's coming back.
Yeah, it is.
But slowly.
Yep. So let's talk technology, right? We got, you know, Chris, you and I are very relatable in age, and technology wasn't a big thing. So how do you feel? How did you feel? Do you grasp it pretty easy? Have you kind of grabbed onto it from the get-go when it really started out there?
Yeah. Yes. And that's one of the reasons why I want to go back into a school setting is because things change so quickly. I mean, no matter what you go into, if it's going to have any kind of paycheck whatsoever, you're going to be constantly training. And that kind of makes it harder to go from one industry to the other. But then it's not impossible, but you're going to have to learn the specifics of your new industry.
Yeah.
Because so much of it is going to be proprietary or cutting edge where you're just not going to be able to pick it up and, you know.
Well, yeah. And you think about that, right? So you guys have gone through year one. How much technology there is out there and where do you find it all? It's everything's digital, right?
Yeah.
So here's a kid, 19, that, you know, born with a phone in his hand, just about, it seems like nowadays with kids. But so Diesel, on technology wise, do you think with today's world being so much advanced, like I said, when Chris and I, honestly, I mean, cell phones came to us when we were in our probably 30s, late 20s, early 30s. I mean, literally at the age of 14 and up, right? Kids now have that technology in their hands.
Yeah.
Do you think it's beneficial for kids coming out of school now with this much technology that they're grabbing onto it quicker?
I think it is, but sometimes it could be harmful because they get too involved and then, I don't know, they're out of.
Good. That's a good point. You know, I've never looked at it in that perspective. I know I've said it before where it's like, I ask kids, like, communication wise, right? Like, how can we sit here and talk and have a conversation like this?
Socially. Yeah. Some great kids stray away from that and it's all through their phone or computer.
Right. And I mean, how much, you do quite a bit of it yourself, right?
Yeah.
I struggle with my daughter a lot, trying to get her. She reads a lot and then she's also on her phone a lot, like everybody her age. And I'm just like, you know, that's fine. But remember, the real world's out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You got to divide it up.
So as we talk technology and we talk real world, this is a perfect segue of AI because, like, it's coming. Like, I've already looked into it. I use a little bit of it myself to help develop some programs and some different type courses and material. So how do you guys feel about AI? I mean, like I said, some people are, honestly, they're afraid, like, it's going to take my job.
My personal opinion, based on what I've seen, and I've run computers, you know, my entire adult life, is I think it's mostly hype. I think it's valuable because it's sophistication in software, but I think for us to think that it's able to think for itself is, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything that would lead me to believe that the machines are able to actually make decisions. I don't think a human being has to worry about that for quite some time.
Oh, come on. It's on Hollywood.
Yeah.
We've got Transformers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Matrix.
I think it's just sophisticated software.
Yeah.
It's where we thought the internet was, for example, you know, 10
way
years
back
ago.
Yeah, right.
Now we're just starting to see it now.
I mean, it's just pulling in analytics of
off
everything,
the internet, yeah,
of the internet, right?
It's mostly data and speed. So it's able to take huge amounts of data and quickly process it. But I think the process itself is still very simple. I'm not saying that's not valuable, but
right, right.
I think it's all hyped up.
Yeah. I mean, Diesel, what do you think about it? I mean, do you, as a younger guy, do you use it at all?
No, but I have seen some applications where, like, in the school, they can use it. It'll give them, I don't know, answers, but it could also be harmful to them because they're not actually looking it up for themselves and they're just having AI figure it out for
right.
them.
Right. It's advanced search.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in the end, guys, right? I mean, AI, a computer, a laptop is not going to fix a truck.
No.
No.
Right. So, I mean, no matter what we want to worry about with AI coming into it, right, it still takes our minds, our mechanical aptitudes to put our minds, our hands together and fix.
Our jobs are safe.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a point, right? But it could be the learning curve. And for us on the training side, could it do some artificial intelligence of developing material for us to give to you guys, right? It could maybe help on the development side because I think I've looked into that a little bit and seen where that can help us speed up time into any customized development. So we've talked about technology and AI, a little bit differences, really. I think part of me was going to ask the question of, like, and we hit it on already, was coming out of school versus coming out of a career path. So two age differences. I want to ask this to both of you guys. When it comes to learning in our skilled trades, in our diesel technician world, and I think I know an answer, because I've heard it from a lot of people, is what way do you guys learn the best? So when I say that, meaning like read the book, thought theory, sit in the classroom, take your tests, hands-on, say it, do it, learn it, you know.
I think it's both. I think it's hands-on and it's also book learning, but with the caveat that book learning now includes media. Like I remember when I was learning how to weld, I welded for almost 20 years before I did it professionally. And I really didn't learn until I was able to see other people weld, like on YouTube, because everybody says it a different way in a textbook. And then you hear everybody's rules of thumb and everybody's opinions. And it's not until you actually see it, you know, use a media where you're using, you know, different styles of information that you really kind of put it together. And, you know, once you see it, for example, with welding, it makes it so much easier. Whereas studying 100 textbooks, you're going to be confused. So I think textbook learning is much different now because there's media involved that kind of helps explain or illustrates the difficult topics.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's very beneficial, you know.
Yeah. And then now, so is that your kind of learning aspect?
Is part of it.
Part of it?
Right. That hands-on too. I mean, yeah, I go out and kind of experiment with things too. But sure, when I'm trying to figure something out, the concepts of it, I'll read what I can, and then I'll, you know, get online like everybody else and try to find videos or whatever. And that's all very helpful.
And I know Diesel's a YouTuber kind of guy to search.
YouTube certified.
Yep. Yeah. And I was going to joke about that, but in the end though, even Diesel, right? I think how does it feel for you to actually finally get like, okay, I want to do it myself now.
Mm-hmm. Like you see it on a board or on a paper, and then you want to go and do it. And yeah, that's so kind of how you learn, and you keep the information.
Yeah. Probably retention is the biggest thing, right? Is trying to, you know, I even look at our industry and diesel technicians as, and I think it's can very relatable to a lot of careers though. It's the repetitiveness of doing something, right, that makes you better at it. So like you do your first brake job. Yeah, I just saw it from my trainer. You know, we went out, we did it together. I did it by myself. But after that 20th time of slamming brake shoes on and off, it's like you go to the toolbox, you grab your vice grips, your big screwdriver, pry bar, or your brake tool if you got it right. And it's like bang, 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 you know, it's on and off, and it is repetitive, but it's definitely doing it with hands. Tricks. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, Chris, you talked about it earlier when we were just chatting in general. So you talked about that tailored training. And so let's go on that a little bit, like when you talked about that. So we'll steer away from the YouTube certified side of things. But in Freightliner's world, how do you think they do with that? What Truck Country does for you?
Oh, I think it's cutting edge. I do. I mean, when I get a piece of equipment for myself, I gather all the information that I can. I make a library, you know, like for my truck, for example. I've got a large vehicle. I've got a library for that truck. And it's nice the way DTNA does it, because they make it easy to find all that information. It takes a library of information and it makes it easy to search for what you're looking for. And if you need a visual aid in order to figure out a topic, I think DTNA does very well.
Yeah. And then, you know, coming to training centers and being able to kind of put your hands onto it. So after you learn it and do it. Yeah.
Okay. I like the computerized manuals. Everything's on computer, which makes searching easy. The old paper methods, you know, that was much, much harder, much more time consuming, much more frustrating.
Yeah. A lot of the technicians had the whole top box was nothing but a library of manuals, you know, to pull it back down. So now you guys got room for more tools. So, okay. Well, that's really the biggest thing that I wanted to talk about with you guys today is kind of and give the audience an idea that it doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter at all in our industry. And if you're looking for a career change, if you're looking to come fresh out of high school or college and you're looking to get in the industry, I think there's some things that these guys spoke about, from the mechanical aptitude, hands-on training, kind of a good mindset. You can really get into this industry. And honestly, we at Truck Country Stoops, I think, offer with our apprenticeship program and our even our traditional path training, you know, there's some really great opportunities to become a very skilled diesel technician with our company and or the industry itself. So any closing remarks, anything you guys want to say?
One thing I've noticed along the way is it's the people that are non-typical that normally bring the most to a job. Having that kind of diversity, I think really, in fact, I know it does help things along. You know, you don't have to be a big football player in order to work on trucks. You can be a smaller person in technology and tooling and all that kind of stuff. It's going to allow you to do the things that some larger person, for example, can do, you know, maybe easier.
That's a good point when you talked about that, right? Mm-hmm. And let's focus on technology. So Diesel, coming fresh out of school, right? And again, I don't want this, but we've got gamers out there, right? That they're very into technology, mm-hmm. right? In your opinion, could they be a diesel technician now?
I mean, if they put their mind to it and learned, I mean, a lot of it, troubleshooting is through a computer now and graphing. Yeah.
Very relatable, right?
Yeah.
So, and then Chris, like you said, right, is that you don't, is it our industry really, we're not cut and dry, right?
No.
There's no cookie cutter that a diesel technician looks like this, right?
Exactly.
He must be this.
Exactly.
Yep. Like you could be that gamer.
Yeah.
You could be that pro quarterback coming out of high school or college. You could be that
young lady
that comes through. Exactly. We've got female technicians coming in the industry. And I love the fact I've had a podcast with them on before. They're really sharp. I mean, again, you guys can't deny, ladies, women, pay attention to the details, right? We tend to overlook it, want to rush through
things. They stay calm.
And they stay calm, right? Because Diesel's got a very calm, cool, collect mannerism. Yeah. I wish we had cameras on because he's got a grin from ear to ear, shaking his head no. So, no, I think the industry, as far as learning curve, and I think all of us on the Freightliner DTNA side, from companies and dealerships that are across the country right now that have training centers, it's a great network. I think we all do our best to take and train some really good technicians out there. So again, doesn't matter if you're looking for a career change, coming fresh out of high school, out of a tech school or something. I think if you're looking to not mind and getting your hands dirty a little bit and kind of pushing through some hard times as far as you, like through your body, because I'm not going to deny it. You know, it's difficult on your body at times. If the dealership or the independent shop doesn't have lifts, you know, you're up and down on a creeper.
Yeah.
You know, but
all it takes is effort. I mean, it's amazing how, if you're willing to try, people will go out of their way to help you. If you're struggling with something, whether it's heavy or technical or whatever, as long as you put forth that effort, it seems like there's always somebody that's going to come and help you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
And the cool thing for me, and this might get a little personal, but you guys have kind of grown a bond to me anyways, from what I've seen. And the group as a whole has grown a bond.
Yeah.
You've only lost one guy, which is really good out of that group anyways, out of our whole groups of things. But the camaraderie, I think, in our industry, and I will say auto and diesel technicians, because I've been an auto technician myself, but when you work in a shop, and maybe it does go because I haven't been in another career enough really to see what the camaraderie is. But I just feel like in a shop setting, you really grow a brotherhood. Like, we don't have unions, but it's still this little brotherhood of band of brotherhood, we'll call it, of diesel technicians. Y'all want to know what tools you're buying.
Yep.
Who's got the bigger toolbox, right? Yep. You all bust chops really bad. Like I said, and now have you guys had nicknames for yourselves yet? Has anybody passed on nicknames?
No. I don't see that much.
Okay. I'm surprised because it is funny because kind of like the military guys, right? They instantly like they're tagging nicknames, right?
Yeah.
So it is kind of cool. But again, I think the learning curve, age doesn't matter, is really important out there right now that, you know, and now's the time because our industry isn't slowing down.
No.
And it's like we talked about earlier, right? It's not going to, technology can't take over fixing trucks. There's not a robot that's going to walk up with a laptop plugged into it and fix the truck, no matter what.
No.
I mean, you guys have a very secured career path.
Yeah, and I don't see that on the horizon.
Yep, exactly. So again, thank you guys for your time today. And to our listeners, thanks for downloading everything. I've got quite a few stats out there, and it's awesome to see that across the United States and beyond. Actually, I was pulling up a report the other day that was cool. I had 5 downloads in Australia already, and I thought that was interesting to me that the podcast has reached out that far and stuff. So again, thanks everybody to our listeners for More Than Just Trucks podcast. Check me out, truckcountry.com. And you can email me with any suggestions for podcasts. If you want to be on my show, it's RayClark@truckcountry.com. All one word, RayClark@truckcountry.com. Thanks, and catch you on the next one.